Now, the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
Well, it was another tough night at Wrigley Field as the Cleveland Guardians have lost now a season-high 6 straight games. 5-4 decision to the Cubs last night. So the offense got it going early on. They had 3 straight home runs, 2 of them straight, actually, 3 and 3 innings between Carlos Santana, Lane Thomas, and David Fry. I thought things are going well, but the Cubs made Tanner Bibee work hard. 4 innings in the books for Bibee on 96 pitches, and they eventually chased him in that 4th. Bibee talking post-game and very candid on his performance.
Pretty bad. Just nothing was really working. Pretty pathetic, honestly.
I didn't even think he was spotting the ball poorly because he had a walk in every single inning, but they were making him go 2-2 counts, 3-2 counts. And by the time you get to that 4th inning on a hot summer night in Chicago, then the bats are going to start flying. He was just getting chased.
They finally had a starter that could pitch with a lead. You know, it's been almost non-existent for this team. Just scoring runs at all has been non-existent. And Kenny, you had the number on this. You had the one occurrence on how this team is ever going to win again. They haven't won since when?
They have not won a game since Jose Ramirez was hit in retaliation.
Oh, because the night prior was the walk-off win.
Yeah, what do you think of that, buddy?
I mean, it's a tough stretch right now. And I said last night the situation.
I said last night the situation with
Matt Shaw missing first base and the umpire making the mistake on that call. I thought that might have been another opportunity.
Played the game under protest
for Vogt to kind of like get fired up and get something going.
Is that not the most worthless thing in sports? Is playing games under protest?
I think they should do it more.
Oh God! When you have to do it at the little league level, you will know.
I love a game being played under protest.
Is George Brett the Pine Tar game the only one that's ever been successfully under protest?
What did they overturn?
I think they
overturned that. Yeah,
it's got to be one
but
of the.
What did
very
they do?
Few.
Did they pick up the game when it happened?
Like weeks later. Yeah, in Yankee Stadium.
I don't know. I got to tell you, there's been a lot of times where I've seen a manager at the little league level. This game is officially under protest. I've seen them like stuff it in the shirt pocket like they were Bill Cowher, and it's just like that's gonna get a lot done. I'm sure you're gonna get your way out of this.
It would be the best gag ever. What is it? Is it the Rockies still have the worst record in all of baseball? They're 19-67. If I were their manager, every game would be held
under
protest.
Yep.
Every single one.
I'll find a reason. Continue, Mitch.
Some positives, though, yesterday for the Guardians in the naming of the American League All-Star starters for the game down in Atlanta here in just a couple of weeks. Jose Ramirez, your starting AL third baseman for the 7th time in his career. He is one shy of surpassing Bob Feller for the most All-Star game appearances by a Cleveland Indians / Guardians player. I mean, this is a historic run for our top player who, by the way, did you see the graphic last night? Batting like 340-some on the year, the rest of the team 200
yep.
On average.
In his own way, I read Zach Meisel, where Zach Meisel had interviewed Jose, and even though the numbers say differently, Zach Meisel writes that Jose is still believes that he's not having a great season. Even though the numbers would tell you he's having a great season, and everybody who watches him tells you he's having a great season, Jose does not believe he's having a great season.
That is exactly what I would expect him to say. Kwan's down to 292 now.
Yeah, it's been a little sketchy for him right now. He did have the sacrifice fly last night, but there haven't been a lot of like early impact hits that have led to the runs. Although the running and scoring position has been a big problem for the Guardians lineup so far this season.
Well, I got to tell you, all the Browns need to do is go out there, and I know that we have a history with this when it comes to Myles Garrett, but boy, you just got to refuse to get pushed around here because a lot of people, I think, are so down about the Cavs because the refusal to, I guess, man up, for the lack of a better word, and then you have this where a lot of people are just putting it right there where you let Jose Ramirez get retaliated against. You don't do anything after that. You don't even get yourself thrown out. Austin Hedges has a players-only meeting. That didn't go. You've lost the last week
of
baseball games.
Can I have a good players-only meeting?
You got to have something for someone, man, because you can lose. But, man, if you won't fight, that's the worst.
Yeah, if you do a players-only meeting, but they're all bad players, I don't know what that's
going to be. Well, it always turns into that. You never have a players-only meeting when things are going good.
No, not at all.
Except for like the 90s Cowboys. They had a lot of players-only meetings when things were going well.
That's at the White House. That's at the clubs. That's where we have our... That's after hours.
But everything else, never a good thing.
Going over to the NBA yesterday, some news. According to reports, the New York Knicks may be centering in on their next head coach, a familiar face around here in Cleveland. Mike Brown looks to be becoming the next head coach of the Knicks. A guy that's been around the league a number of times, was ousted from Sacramento last year despite having a great run in the previous season. And this is a guy that I've stated has been one of the most undervalued coaches within the last two decades of the NBA, especially now as the value of NBA coaches has gone down to where we're firing championship coaches over the last couple of years.
I have something maybe controversial to say, but I want Lima to give his thoughts first.
The Mike Brown career is going to be studied. You know, Andrew Brand always talks about the business Hall of Famers. Mike Brown has got to be one of them because this guy was, we all know the backstory on how he got in under Popovich's staff, film guy, you know, video editor guy. And he ends up coaching in Los Angeles. He ends up coaching the Lakers, the Knicks. People forget he was 12-0 in the playoffs with the Kevin Durant Golden State Warriors team before Steve Kerr came back. Not only that, he's going to make over $100 million career earnings. Yeah, Mike Brown. He's been two-time coach of the year. He's been on four staffs that have won the championship. I think there are very few people who would trade their coaching careers with Mike Brown. Like, in the history of the NBA, how many coaches would trade with Mike Brown?
All right, you ready for this?
Go ahead.
Is he the Don Nelson of our generation?
Ooh.
Hmm.
Do you even know who Don Nelson is, Mitch?
I know Don Nelson was at one point the winningest coach in NBA history.
He coached for a very long time.
Coach of the Mavericks.
So was Lenny. Warriors. Lenny was the winningest and losingest coach for a while.
Is he this generation's Don Nelson, where he doesn't probably get the credit he deserves? He gets a lot of guff. I gave Don Nelson a lot of guff back in the day. Not that anybody cared. Because, you know, he signed off on tanks, which is not what a coach is supposed to do. But, I mean, he'll tell you he's playing chess, not checkers. I don't think Don Nelson cares anything about what I have to say about him. But still, Mike Brown, who probably doesn't care either. Maybe he's the Don Nelson of our generation.
Mike Brown, 454-304. So 600 winning percentage. Also 50-40 in the playoffs.
Right now,
he's also coached Steph Curry. He's coached LeBron James.
Mike Brown's career win percentage is .599. Don Nelson is .557.
Wow. Is he a Hall of Famer?
Mike Brown?
He's not going to be, but it's just crazy to think about what an incredible career, and yet all people did yesterday was make fun of him. And I'm like, okay, if you're making fun of Mike Brown and you think he's a terrible coach, name me the good coaches. Who are the good coaches?
If you're going to say,
well, he only won when he had great players. Okay, so, well, then Pat Riley's not a good coach. Well, I guess Phil Jackson's not a good coach. I guess Greg Popovich is not a good coach.
Eric Spoelstra won his two titles.
Not a good coach.
Yeah.
I guess there are no good coaches.
Welcome when it comes to football. I do that all the time for these guys. I'm like, Kenny, why are you carrying water for this terrible suck-ass coach? And I go, because he's actually good. This coach and that coach are actually good. They didn't have the players. They had boobery as general managers, as owners. They were actually good coaches. Go ahead.
All right, also in the NBA yesterday, Brian Windhorst and ESPN made a comparison of the Milwaukee Bucks' handling of the Damian Lillard trade following his dismissal from Milwaukee, compared it to a current Cleveland Browns quarterback.
As a Cleveland Browns fan, this is akin to what the Deshaun Watson contract was, except for Deshaun Watson wouldn't even be on the team anymore, which is pretty much the way it is anyway, but that's another story for another day. This is that level of mortgaging, except for the player's not going to be there. There's nothing like a small market that's losing a superstar. The desperation is almost depressing.
Yeah, he's dead-ass on point about that. There were a lot of people when that trade went down. I remember exactly where I was when the move to stretch his contract, Dame Lillard's contract, went down. There were a lot of people who were making the same comparison. And you can't help but make the same comparison because we all know who part owner of the Bucks is. So, yeah, you're going to make that comparison. Fair enough by Brian Windhorst. I didn't know he was a Browns fan. I should have just assumed. I didn't know he was. I just thought he was all basketball.
In the area.
Yeah, but there's guys who are from here who do other sports and they're like, yeah, I don't care about the Cavs or Browns or whatever. I'm a Guardians. Like, they do that. So I thought maybe he was just all basketball. I didn't know he followed the Browns at all.
I was going to say, Pat Boyle this morning on the early show had some scathing things to say about his take. I'll tell you about it off air.
About Brian Windhorst's
take? About that take that he just made regarding Watson and the Lillard deal.
Oh, God. Well, I'm sure he took it to a different level. I'm not going to get upset with Brian Windhorst over making that comparison.
Finally, we have an update here. Red Panda has been released from the hospital with a fractured wrist after her fall at the WNBA Commissioner's Cup halftime show. So it looks like everything's stable right now with Red Panda. It's tough to see that sort of situation, but what was it? What was
the number? When Kobe had the Achilles, he was never the same. And people were wondering the same thing. Now, I thought that she was great after the knee injury.
She came back. The second act of her career was amazing.
Red Panda's got to be.
They counted her out. All the other halftime shows counted her out. They gave her bulletin board material. Remember, Quick Change? Yeah, where's Quick Change now?
One of them passed
away. 6 feet under. That's what? Try to change out of that one.
Okay.
The dog acts. I'm sick and tired of the dog acts. I've seen them all. None of them are interesting to me. What else do you have? Watching middle school kids go out and run up and down the floor, that's fun for about a minute. Nobody compares to the greatness that is the Red Panda.
Red Panda might be 55 years old, by the way.
Yeah, it says born 70 or 71. She also says she completes about 80% of her performances spot on. That's what I'm reading
right
here.
She actually has 20% that aren't spot on?
She estimates that a perfect show 75 to 80% of the time.
I've never seen her miss, except for here.
We did last night, yeah.
Lord almighty.
That's it for about last night.
Oh, she's a legend.
I'm looking at the other acts.
She's
Kevin
a legend.
The Chin Balancer. He's the one with the big ladder.
Yeah, I remember that guy.
A lot of the dogs. There's Christian and
Scooby. Because you don't
got to
pay them as much.
They were on America's Got Talent.
Yeah.
That's the one who has like the crutches and he's a gymnast.
If Kayla is my assistant and I'm a magician, I got to pay her a living wage. I don't got to pay a dog.
I'm sorry. I want to know the origin story so much. Somebody do the documentary. How did she figure out plates, unicycle, flip them up, kick them up into the air and balance them? How did she come up with the act? What did she try before that that didn't necessarily move the needle? A lazy Susan? She tried to balance the Lady Susans? Didn't work?
That's it for about last night. Mary Kay Kevin. Mitch just walked out of here. Yeah,